Welcome back to Step Up Nigeria's podcast. Our podcast is an initiative built to create awareness of governance issues that highlight the cost of corruption and its impact on service delivery. We also hope that our podcast will shape the discussions around topical issues as it relates to the fight against corruption in Nigeria. Which is the most corrupt institution in Nigeria, the police or the judiciary? SERAP presented a report that assesses the perceptions and experiences of Nigerians as it relates to paying bribes to the police and the judiciary, as well as access to services in the power, health and education sectors in Nigeria. Today we'll be assessing which institution from your findings is the most corrupt institution in Nigeria. Hello, I'm your host for this podcast. My name is Fairami Adeola, and our topic for today, which is the most corrupt institution in Nigeria, the police or the judiciary? I'd like our guests to introduce themselves, please.
Hi, my name is Zaina Karina. I am Program Director for Step Up Nigeria.
Hello, my name is Kola Wole Oluwadare. I work with SERAP, that's Socioeconomic Rights and Accountability Project.
Thank you, Kola. Thank you, Zaina. I'm glad to have you discussing this topic today. SERAP presented a report that assesses the perceptions and experiences of Nigerians as it relates to paying bribes to the police and the judiciary, as well as access to services in the power, health and education sectors in Nigeria. I'm aware that almost 3,000 people were assessed across the six geopolitical zones, and today we'll be assessing which institution from your findings is the most corrupt institution in Nigeria. And hopefully we'll be able to identify practical steps to fight corruption in the sectors that we've identified. So thank you.
Thank you for having me.
So firstly, we'd like to know, the results of your survey showed that the highest likelihood to be asked to pay a bribe is in interacting with the police force. Why do you think that is so?
And you must understand, firstly, that the purpose of the survey is meant to look at the first 4 years of the Buhari administration's fight against corruption. So the first, so in the fifth year, we looked at the perceptions and the experiences of the people fighting corruption, the people assessing these essential public services. The police, unsurprisingly, came tops, given the likelihood of being asked to pay a bribe in interacting with the police. Like I said, we look at five sectors: the police, the power sector, education, judiciary, and health services, for peculiar reasons being what unites all Nigerians, rich and poor. Police came first at 54. No, the police came first at 60%. That's 63.7%. Followed closely by, it looks like it is, like the power sector for at 49.1%. Judiciary came third at 27.7%. And the education sector is 25.6%, and the health sector is 20.5%. That represents the totality of the people we spoke to, and that is how they ranked the likelihood of paying a bribe in those sectors.
Thank you. And so, do you think there are some factors in the way Nigeria is that have encouraged the police to take bribes from people or make people, you know, easy prey for the police? What would you say about that?
The survey did not really cover the reasons why it would be so, but you know, we did not only publish a survey, it's a comprehensive report including some analytics, and then we made some findings. Of course, the reason is not far-fetched, knowing the critical role that the police play in security. So they relate with everyone, and because they had some form of coercive power, so it's understandable that in interacting with people, they are likely to be perceived as more corrupt. Not because corruption is not everywhere, but because of the kind of powers they have. Powers of arrest and detention, for instance. Because that will speak volumes than going to the hospital, which is more or less a choice thing. Unless you're sick, you wouldn't use the hospital. And of course, you have a choice to use public or private, and then you can do traditional. So it's understandable why police came first.
Okay, thank you. So Zainab, the judiciary ranked first in the average size of bribe that a respondent would have to pay. Do you believe that judiciary is the ticking time bomb that we are yet to address in Nigeria?
I certainly do think so. I mean, if you consider the fact that, so currently, corruption in the police is addressed on a daily basis. We talk about it, it's widely discussed in mainstream conversation. So but we don't really talk much about the judiciary. And the reason, I know from experience of people who are close to me, who have, you know, gotten, you know, arrested because they had squabbles with their neighbors and neighbors reported them to the police, is a lot of people even pay bribe to the police because they want to avoid the matter being taken to court, because they believe that if they go into the court process, it's going to take a long while and the issues won't even be resolved. But that's even aside the fact that even people within the judiciary will still collect bribes, you're still likely to get to pay bribes, as we're seeing from this CERAC report. So I think we need to address that, because if we're saying the agency, the institution responsible for bringing justice to the people on the streets every day, you know, going about their businesses every day, they are likely to be extorted, they are likely to be asked to pay bribes, they're likely to be blackmailed or any other form of corruption, then I do think that we need to start talking more seriously about this. What's going on in the judiciary and how do we address these issues?
Okay, thank you. So, from the findings of the survey, Kola, what would you say is the most corrupt institution in Nigeria?
That's from the findings of the survey. In the last 4 years, the people perceive the police to be the most corrupt institution.
For me, I don't think it's there. So yes, Kola is right. From the report, we see that people perceive the police to be the most corrupt. But for me, that's a perception issue. And it's not a... I mean, it's not even something we should even be talking about, who is more corrupt. I mean, the fact that anybody, even in all these sectors... Because for me, assessing public service, like in the power sector, in health, in education, these are basic services that people need to live something that resembles a good life. So if we're saying that to assess these basic services, you're likely to be asked by an official who's supposed to be doing their job to pay bribe, then it means that you can't assess those services, and it's making people's lives even more difficult than it's supposed to be. So the question for me is, how can we really get rid of corruption in these sectors? Because these are like the primary sectors that should serve people. So for me, it's not even a question of which is more corrupt. It's in the first place, why is there corruption there? What are the drivers for corruption? What are the behaviors that are encouraging corruption in these institutions? And how can we tackle them and get rid of corruption?
Okay, thank you. So I think this is the part where we get to the nitty-gritty of we're here to find a solution. So the Anti-Corruption Performance Assessment Survey, as Kola has said earlier, ranked 5 sectors, which is the power, health, education, judiciary, and police. And so my question now is, what practical steps can be taken to fight corruption in the identified sectors? And there are 5 sectors here, so what do we think are practical steps that can be taken in these sectors to fight corruption?
Yeah, in the report, we made findings and recommendations to each of the sectors. But that's a long thing, if we have to go read all that. But basically, the best way to start is with openness and simplicity of processes. And that can be done with government simplifying processes across board. Like, for instance, getting a meter, the process should be as simple as possible. Relating with the police, filling a bail bond, going to court, filling out processes, filing processes in court. So simplifying it is the part of the government side. Openness is also on the government side. Make it open. Let people understand the process. Now, on the CSO and on the people side is public enlightenment. People need to know to understand. They need to understand how it works. And I can tell you, like what we've seen with the judiciary, it is mostly based on ignorance. If you understand that if you go to a court, you don't need to pay a magistrate to get justice. Sometimes I can tell you some of those issues with the judiciary are not really given to magistrate or judges, because the person you're dealing with is a regular court official. So what he tells you, you don't get to see the magistrate, except if he's an eye up there, you can't talk to him or her. So sometimes the bribe doesn't get to these people, and they are not the ones demanding the bribe, it may be the court official. So simplifying the process and enlightening the people is a way to start.
Okay.
For me, I totally agree with Kola. I mean, Kola, really, the work that CERAC has been doing in this area is phenomenal, and clearly he has a lot of insight into what is practical in tackling corruption. Other things that I would also suggest, in addition, would be, I mean, one of the conversations that we had on our previous podcast was around the ALAC initiative that CISLAC organizes, and it really is civic action against governance. So if people are more willing, because I think in the report, CERAC identified that even though people were paying all of these bribes and being targeted for corruption, they didn't report. The likelihood, the people who were reporting were such a minimal number. And so if people encourage, embrace that culture of reporting when, you know, an official, and it becomes a culture, I mean, it's also going to be something that we can actually do. So if someone asks you to pay a bribe, find someone that you can report to. I mean, there are usually grievance mechanisms and ways to address these issues. Other things that I would also suggest would be perhaps more collaboration between the anti-graft agencies, the agencies that are responsible and set up by the government to tackle this, cooperation between themselves, and also cooperation with civil society. So civil society sometimes might have the pulse of the people, just because sometimes, from experience, sometimes people might not want to deal with government agencies directly, but they are more willing to, you know, interact with CSOs because they feel they are there to, you know. So more collaboration, because CSOs can then get this data and then funnel it to the anti-graft agencies, and then they can act on that. So those would just be some things that, I mean, what practical steps that can be done. I mean, I would love the Ukraine example, where we would have like a one-stop shop to assess public services, but that's not really like, when we're talking practical now, I'm thinking in terms of what can we do now, like right now. But maybe in the future, we could be looking also at something like that, where we limit the interaction of the person on the streets with officials and make and automate processes so that they are not engaging with humans, and you remove that factor.
Thank you. For me, I was also thinking we might need a process of reporting, like reporting mechanisms, because I think this report has done one half of the work, which is bringing out, you know, the facts of the matter and people's experiences and perceptions. But I also think on the part of the government, it might be essential to have a desk officer whose job is strictly to receive corruption complaints in each of these sectors, so that people, I mean, that's the only way we can track where the corruption happens, the reason why it happens, who it happens, at what level of those institutions. And that way, with that level of information, these institutions will be able to see really where the corruption is and how best to tackle it. And it can also keep tabs on, is corruption increasing? Is it decreasing? Is it improving? Are the efforts, the stopgaps we're putting in place, are they actually working? Are they efficient in, you know, reducing corruption? Because even if they put in maybe like automated processes and things like that, they need to be able to test if those processes are actually working to reduce corruption. I think that's why they would need some form of reporting mechanism.
Just You are very right, and just to speak on what Kola said earlier about enlightenment, the Servicom exists, right? And that's their role, if I'm correct. But not a lot of people, am I correct?
Yeah.
Yes, but not a lot of people are aware, probably, of, and from, you know, from second-hand feedback, third-hand feedback, I understand that Servicom is actually very, they do their job very well, but people don't actually bring, you know, issues before them. So maybe more people need to be aware. So part of what Paula said, exactly, public enlightenment, people need to know that these mechanisms are present and they can, you know, take charge of them, use them to report when they are being, you know, shortchanged, to use that word. But yes.
Yeah, but what Fairami said actually exists. Yes. Yeah, I know a lot of ministries in Abuja have anti-corruption officers, and I know the police, nearly all divisions have anti-corruption officers assigned to that corruption. So it's not really the creation of those desks. It is the will to follow up. An anti-corruption officer somewhere in a remote village in, let's say, Osun State, as issues reported to him, are there mechanisms to take it up all the way to the IG, for instance, or does it just die at the level of that police station, doesn't even get to the state command? So it's not enough to have those officers there or desks. There must be a mechanism that makes it get to the highest top, and then that is where the political will to follow through whatever action comes into play.
Absolutely.
Thank you. So this is an excellent report, as we've all said. So how do you think that the Anti-Corruption Performance Assessment Survey can help to design anti-corruption mechanisms and efforts in Nigeria? How do you think this report can be taken forward?
Every survey has a baseline. So we had a baseline before we started. And I must say, this was done with funding from DFID. So there's a baseline survey. We know where corruption was before the Buhari administration came in. So we've looked at where it is now, and then we have to look at it going forward. So what this does is, it puts into perspective what everyone has done. And like we've said, that different engagement with all the stakeholders, this is not necessarily to apportion blame. No. It's possibly a way to self-assess And possibly, again, I've said this at several engagements, it is not necessarily indicting the police. Possibly the police need to do more to educate the people and not necessarily to stop being corrupt. So it's a self-assessment thing. Now that we know, and we've reached out to all these agencies, we sent copies to them, we've met with some of them. So we know where we are, we need to know what we are doing, and then we need to know what we should do. That is what this report does.
So is there another survey in the works for other sectors?
Yes. We are doing one on social norms spread as a follow-up to this, also with funding from DFID. Our social norms affect right bearers and right holders and duty bearers, and the fight against corruption generally. And you must know, we all know corruption is a social norm. We are talking of these social services because we all need them. So it thrives everywhere. So that is why the social norm factor is very good.
Do you have built in the survey, would you be measuring the impact of the social norms? Like, do you have a mechanism for measuring?
Yes. Okay. We want to know the cause.
Okay.
How those things interplay with social norms, how they feed corruption.
Okay.
And then to know what the things we need to preach at now. What are the social norms? What are those traditions? To make sure people cut it from the roots. So before they become government officials, probably when they're in secondary school, they need to know some things when they become.
Fantastic. When will this report be released?
We are working. The survey is going to take place before December, and so we'll hopefully report the launch before December. Yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Thank you very much for your time, Kola. I think this was very enlightening, and I think people also need to just look at this report themselves and see the information that is there. So, on today's episode, we've discussed which institution is the more corrupt institution in Nigeria, the police or the judiciary. And we've seen and recommended that openness and simplification of processes is one way that the government can reduce the likelihood of bribes and corruption in government agencies, and as well as public enlightenment to make people aware of these mechanisms that are in place already, and just to help people report these things when they happen and to take the reporting forward. We hope you've enjoyed listening to our episode today. So, Kola, to conclude, how can we follow you and Serap on social media and other platforms?
We're very active on Twitter. That's Serap Nigeria. Serap Nigeria. Follow us on Twitter, yes.
I retweet your tweets.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, so thank you. Please remember to follow Step Up Nigeria on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, on YouTube, and on LinkedIn at step_up_Nigeria. Thank you so much for listening today. We hope that you will listen next time. Till then, bye-bye.